people can spread out for church. No, Sherry and I have sat over there, and it's kind of hard to see the board from over there when you're looking at the back of it. If you don't want to see the board, you can sit wherever you want. In thinking and praying, and I didn't have overly long with being at the hospital the last 8 days to spend a whole long time. Something that I have done a couple of times. The first time was in Australia in a family camp. And if you want to turn in your Bible to Colossians chapter 2, I just want to read two verses, and I want to use that kind of as a jumping off place. This is a one-off. I'm not doing Revelation. Mike is doing a fantastic job, and I don't want to defer or get involved in Revelation. Let's let Mike take care of that. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and verse 7, there's two verses which have meant a lot to me, and I thought I'd use these a little bit as a jumping off place. Colossians 2, 6, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I had a, a situation come up where, and this is the question that I asked in the family camp in Australia. If a young believer came up to you and said, okay, I've read this verse in Colossians 2, 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, and he said, I've received Christ as my Savior, that's salvation, and then it says, so walk in Him. How do I walk in Him? And so while we were there, I think this was a few years ago, so it wasn't a whiteboard, it was a blackboard. But anyway, so I asked the people there to go ahead and tell me, okay, what would you tell him? And so we filled the board up with things that they had said. Well, you'd tell him that he needs to pray. You'd tell him that he needs to read his Bible. You'd tell him that he needs to go to church. You'd tell him that he needs to perhaps go to prayer meeting. Maybe he needs to join a small group. He needs to give, and thinking there of that green stuff, you know, money. He needs to read or listen to Bible, shall we say, commentaries. Devotions. You know, doctrines, books, I mean, whatever. Let me look at my list there. I listed a whole bunch. I'm not going to put all these down, but maybe memorize scripture. take courses, either either correspondence or in person or whatever. You get the picture. Spend time with other Christians, you know, on and on and on. We can talk about different things. And I looked at this list that they had made, and this is only partial list. And I looked at it, and I said, I don't agree with any of them. Well, then I think what they thought was, what kind of a heretic do we have here trying to teach us if he doesn't believe that any of these are walk in him? Now, let me clarify. I believe all of those are results of our walk in him. But what is a walk in him? How do we walk with the Lord? Is there some kind of a, and I don't believe that there's formulas that we follow, you know, that, but I think that there are things that we can see in Scripture that the Bible shows us. And I like to think, I guess I'm kind of simple-minded, I like to think of four helps for me. The first help is a positive sign. The second help is a negative sign. The third help for me is a downward arrow. And the fourth one is a forward arrow. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 14. Now, we've just been going through the book of John. And actually, let me just quote a verse from the Old Testament before we read this verse in John chapter 14. In Amos 3:3, there is a verse of Scripture that says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And really, to me, all of the things that were listed here have to do with relationship. And really, for walking in him, it's a relationship that we have. It's not a series of rules and regulations. It's not a series of things that we're to do or not do. It's not a particular way of acting as such, that if you act this way, you're a Christian, and if you don't. Now, some of those things might fit. But really, can two walk together? Can we walk with Christ and not be in agreement? And let me just say, this is not Christ agreeing with us. This is us agreeing with him. And in John chapter 14 and verse 15, we find, and we've gone through this as we've been going through, but Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Plus, do what he says. As we read, as we study the Word, as we see what God wants us to be and to do and how we act, then we're going to be obedient. And in a relationship, I believe that the Lord is going to make clear to us, situation by situation, what we should do or what we should not do. And so simply, we are here to obey what he says. Agree with him. Do it. Follow him. If we're walking with him, he should be the leader we should be the ones that are following, and we should see where he is, what he's doing, what he wants us to do, and just obey. He said, if you, what? Love me. Do you love the Lord? Do you want to do what he wants you to do? Do you want to follow him? And Peter's going to be preaching on joy. And I think as I was talking with Peter before we started, he was saying, you know, some of this will probably be really adding to what Peter is going to say. And so the Lord led this to be, not me, negative. 1 John 1:9. What's 1 John 1:9 talk about? Are we always obedient? Do we always do what the Lord wants us to do? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of us sin as believers. And that fellowship with the Lord, that walk in him, is broken. And so what we need to do is we need to confess our sin. What's the word confess mean? The word confess means to say the same thing as God says. God says, it's sin. What am I saying? I'm agreeing with him. Lord, you didn't want me to do that. I sinned. And so this aspect of positive, when we don't obey, we need to confess our sin. Now, I want to give you an illustration. Sherry and I spent 5 years in New Zealand. And the church we were involved with there was a young couple that had just, they'd been married less than a year. And Sherry and I saw that they were having a few adjustment problems to marriage. And so we invited them to come over to our house, have a meal, have some fellowship. Had a good meal, had some good fellowship. After the meal, Sherry and I sat down. Now, if I'd said to them, I've observed that you two are really not getting along as well as you should, I am sure what they would have said to me was, oh no, everything's great. When I knew it wasn't. So what we did is we shared with them some of the adjustments that we'd had when we first got married. And this lady, her mouth just flopped open, and she said, you had those problems? And we said, yes. And she said, we're having the same problems right now. And so that opened the whole thing up. And as we were sharing, we got to this area of confess your sins. And she said, well, she said, I've confessed my sin, but God didn't forgive me. And I thought, wait a minute. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, that's our part. He, God, is the one that's going to forgive and cleanse from all unrighteousness. So I said to her, I said, did you confess your sin? Did you acknowledge that you'd sinned? What you did was the wrong thing. She said, yes. I said, how do you know God didn't forgive you? She said, I didn't feel any different. And so I said, okay, where in this verse does it say, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and give you a wonderful feeling that you're forgiven. And of course, she said, oh, well, it doesn't say that. And I said, well, that's what you're saying. And she said, oh. And then she said, so if I confess my sin, then he's faithful and just and he'll forgive. And I thought, isn't that what it says? And she looked at me and she said, so I confess my sin. And he said he'd forgive me. So I'm forgiven. And I said, yes. She said, oh, I feel different. But the feeling that she had, praise God for the feeling, by the way. But the feeling that she had, God had still forgiven her, I don't think she just believed it. And I think for us sometimes, we talk, and Peter asked me if I'd lead the communion today. By the way, what time is it? Got plenty of time. I was going to mention this in the communion time. Some people, as far as confession of sin, when do we confess our sin? Do we have a certain time every day that we come before the Lord and we say, Lord, have I sinned today? Or maybe it's a weekly thing. You have a sin stock take. And then you're going to bring all this sin. Or maybe it's once a month when we have communion. And you have this sin stock take. And then you confess your sin. Now I find in my life that the Holy Spirit is a lot more willing to convict me of sin when I've sinned, or not too long after I've sinned. That's when we need to confess our sin. And as we're walking with Him and we find that we sin, we need to confess our sin. He forgives. He cleanses. We're back in fellowship. We're back walking with Him. And so there doesn't have to be a period of, I'm not sure what to call it, feeling that you have to say so many Hail Marys or something to get back in fellowship. And so the first thing we need to do as we walk in Him is to obey His commandments, to walk with Him. When we don't, and we all don't, one of the verses of Scripture that has been a real challenge to me, a couple of verses further on from 1 John 1:9, 1 John 2:1, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Now, I'm not saying that we ever reach a state of sinless perfection where we never sin. But you know, if we're walking with Him, if we're obeying Him, if we're in fellowship with Him, I think we'll not sin as much as if we keep close to Him. Thank the Lord for that verse. It's a challenge to me. These things write unto you that ye sin not. Not he goes on to say, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. And so there is that provision there. But I challenge you and I challenge myself. These things write I unto you that ye sin not. Praise God, when we do sin, we have the provision of confession to Him. The downward arrow. Acts 1:8. We all, I trust, know Acts 1:8. You might want to just turn there and we'll look at another verse, but Acts 1:8, being a missionary for quite a number of years, I knew Acts 1:8 as well as Matthew 28 and Mark and John, the Great Commission verses. But in Acts 1:8, we find that the scriptures tell us, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth." The power to do what God wants us to do is not in you and it's not in me. The power, the ability to be able to even live the Christian life is from Him. And so, really this aspect, and there's a principle I think here that has been a blessing to me. You will receive and then you will be. We receive power and then we are to be witnesses. We receive from the Lord. And what do we receive from the Lord? I mean, even to come to know Him as our Savior. We receive faith. We receive everything from Him. He's given us the Scripture. So we receive, and then we are to be or to act upon that. And here, the power to live the Christian life is not in me, it's not in you. It's from above. It's from the Holy Spirit. Now, I could have actually probably, here we go. I could have done this a little different. Instead of doing that, I probably could have done something like that, because where is the Holy Spirit? He's in us. He's in us. We're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And so some of these symbols probably fall down. They're not particularly, and they're not inspired. They're not in the Word. They're a visual aid which helps me. But the power, the ability comes from above. It's not in you. It's not in me. Galatians chapter 15, verse that I'm sure, Galatians, there aren't 15 chapters in Galatians. Galatians 5, verse 16 and verse 25. Well-known verses of scripture. Verse 16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." We all have a battle going on within us. Am I going to do what I want to do, or am I going to do what God wants me to do? And here in this verse, we find that if we walk in the Spirit, which to me is the same as walk in Him, then we're not going to be overcome with the desires of the flesh. That same chapter in verse 25 and 26, 25 particularly, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." Our whole life should be really in tune with the Holy Spirit who's leading. And we're said that Christ indwells us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We are to walk in Him and we are to walk in the Spirit. I find that this is something that I probably should be better in tuned with. I became a Christian in 1964, before some of you were born. And during, from 1964 to the present time, I'm still continuing to grow. I'm still continuing to learn. I'm still continuing to desire to know more about the Lord, to know more about my salvation, to know more about just everything that God wants me to know. And to me, this is something which is extremely important. I'm retired later this month. I will be turning 78. So I'm closer to 80 than I am to 70. And I desire to continue as long as I can to grow and to learn more and to be more in tune with the Holy Spirit, to be more in tune with the Lord as He seeks to lead and direct in my life. And so positive, we obey what He says. Negative, when we don't obey what He says, when we sin, acknowledge that sin. We basically confess our sin. He forgives. He cleanses. And then we acknowledge that the power to live the Christian life is not in me. So many times in my own life, I'm afraid when I finished Bible school, I felt I was God's gift to the church. I had an extremely big head and an extremely little heart. And it's taken all the time between the time I finished in 1969 until now for the Lord to begin to take a lot of that knowledge and rearrange some of it. I thought I knew so much, and the more that I learn, the more I know I have so much more to learn. And the Lord to take that knowledge from my head and put it down here in my heart, that it might work itself out in daily life with my wife, with those around me, with my church, with the people that I run into day by day, with my family, my extended family. And so this whole aspect of obey, confess, and the power is not in me. I've tried to live the Christian life in my own strength, in my own power. And let's face it, America is a country that believes that we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We can do it. We've got the education. We've got, you name it. Well, I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, I cannot live the Christian life myself. I cannot do it in the power of the flesh. I've tried, and I've failed. Illustration, I think we got time. I was in missionary training in Canada, and we were going to a little church. It was about a half an hour away from where we were in Ontario. I had a 1962 VW Beetle. The engine had problems, and it was off the road. And we hadn't been to church for a couple of weeks. And one of the single girls that was there wasn't going to go to church that Sunday. And she said, "Why don't you take my car?" And she said, "You can go to church." And she said, "Just bring it back." Well, we went to church, had a good time at fellowship. We were on our way back. It was the middle of winter. Car going the opposite direction went out of control, and hit that car broadside right where I was. Spun the car around duty Ontario provincial policeman in it. He immediately stopped, ran up to the car to make, you know, checked, and then he went to the other car to see the lady that was in the other car. And he actually, before the ambulance, he then called in and reported it before the police had come or anything. My wife and I and our son was in the car. He was actually, this was before seat belts. He was in the back seat playing on the floor, probably safest place he could have been. We went in. My face had smashed the window, driver's side window out. So this side of my face was just a mess. It swelled up where I didn't even know whether I'd be able to see or not. You know, which eye is my good eye? This one. The Ontario Provincial Policeman actually took us to the hospital before the ambulance got there. And they determined that I didn't have any real bad, they put Sherry in under observation for, she was there 5-6 days. My son got a little bump on his head, that was it. Through that whole time, as I went home with my son and my wife was in the hospital, we're talking here about our walk in Him, our living, our doing what the Lord wanted us to do. I had said to the Lord, Lord, as Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto me, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'd done that. I'd given my body to the Lord. Lord, here I am. Take me, use me, whatever way you want. Through that accident, the Lord seemed to say to me, Charlie, you said you had given me your body as a living sacrifice, but you haven't been allowing me to do the work that I want to do in you. And so I put you in this accident. Now, I'm not saying that every Christian that's in an accident, that it's God's dealing in that way with him. I would never say that. But for me, and the Lord say, if you don't start responding to me, I'm just going to take you home because you're no good to me. I was trying to live the Christian life in my own strength. And that was kind of another new beginning to go on with him. And I'm still learning. So what's the fourth one? What's the forward arrow that I have up there? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We all should know it. For we walk by faith, not by sight. It's hard sometimes not to walk by sight, isn't it? I find it's hard a lot of times to not walk by faith, but to want to walk by sight. I've had times, and you probably have too, in your life, where you wonder, What am I going to do? What does the Lord want me to do? What direction do you want me to go? I just don't know what to do. And I find in times like that, that God can lead and God can continue to lead as we walk by faith. Sherry and I were praying about, Lord, where do you want us to go in the world? And we started out thinking that he wanted us to go to South America, to Brazil, and we were going to go back in the jungle and try and reach some ethnic group back in the jungle. And then we heard about some places in Papua New Guinea out in the Western Pacific where places were opening up, and we thought, well, okay, yeah, there's needs there, but there's needs over there, and it seems like that's a place that we could fit in, and so we started heading in that direction. Then the mission board that we were with, we had a meeting just before we finished our training, and everything was finished. They were just going to pray for us. They were going to say, you know, okay, head for Papua New Guinea. And it was all clear, and just before the prayer, one of the two men from the executive committee of the mission we were going to be going with said, I just had a thought. And my reaction to that was, no! Everything I see what you want me to do. I see the direction you want me to go. Please don't bring up anything else. I can't take this. So I said, what's your thought? And he said, well, he said, we have a need in Australia. And we need somebody to go over there for 2 years. Work 1 year with a man who is in the training part of our mission, and you've just finished this part of the training. He'll train you for a year. You take over for him. He'll come back to the States, coordinate the training program in the States, the training program over in Australia, and then you'll be free to go to Papua New Guinea. So I thought, what do I do now? But I remembered praying, Lord, I'm heading for Papua New Guinea, and I believe you're big enough that you can direct me if this is not specifically where you want me to go. And to me, it was the Lord saying to me, Charlie, I'm redirecting you. At that time, it was going to only be for 2 years. We wound up being there at 34. So we were temporary, permanent. But that was the way that the Lord led. And so really, in this whole area, obeying what he says, confessing our sins, the power is from him, and we walk by faith. I remember a young believer saying one time, I find it hard to know what God's will is. And I found an older believer that made a statement that when he first made it, I thought this can't be true. And the statement that he made was, a Christian who really wants to do what God wants him to do, it's hard for him to get out of the will of God. And I think that's true. If we'll walk with him, if that relationship is there, and that's for anybody, not just full-time Christian workers, that's for everybody. Walk with him. Obey him. Confess your sin when you don't. Walk in the power of the Spirit. And walk by faith. Father, as we've just looked at your word just a little bit, and I know in a sense this is a oversimplification and there's lots of other areas that we could consider. But I pray that we might acknowledge before you that we need you so much. I pray that we might see that you desire that we would walk in you, that we would walk in the Spirit. We would walk in your strength and power. And we would walk by faith, day by day, moment by moment. Continue to minister to our hearts and teach us this. Help us to work it out for your honor, for your glory, for Christ's name. Amen.